Welcome to The Conversation. My name is Graham Nystrom, and I'll be your host today. This is our live call-in show. Give us a call, 503-325-0010, and weigh in on the topic of the week. First, we'll hear from Astoria Mayor Bruce Jones with a little update about things from the local to state to even possibly federal levels. So look forward to that, and then give us a call with your comments or questions about May Day and the return of spring and how you're celebrating. And do you have any thoughts about the current labor strikes that we're seeing on the news? Okay, let's get this party started. Bruce, are you on the line?
I am. Can you hear me?
Yeah, thanks for being here. Take it away.
Good morning. Hey, well, you know, it's a beautiful day outside, and the motor vessel Glorious Hope just sailed through the anchorage out to sea, and I thought that was just a great sign for all of us, that Glorious Hope this morning. Isn't that something to think about? Yeah, so last night we held a business owners forum, a live Zoom conference that the Small Business Development Center hosted it logistically. We had SBDC's Kevin Leahy, the Chamber's David Reed, Senator Betsy Johnson, Warrenton Mayor Henry Ballenseifer, myself, and of course now I'll forget who the sixth person was because I can't remember what names I already said. But we had a great discussion for 90 minutes about a variety of topics related to COVID-19. That was recorded, and sometime later today, SBDC will have that on their Facebook page that people can watch it at their leisure. We covered a lot of topics, but the hot topic right now, of course, is reopening. And, of course, the governor released her reopening framework a few weeks ago. If you haven't seen that yet, your listeners can just Google Oregon Governor Reopening Framework. You can see the whole presentation. And every county in Oregon is drafting a reopening plan for their county that complies with the governor's reopening framework. And here in Clatsop County, they're making great progress. County Manager Don Boone has just about finished the county's reopening plan. And the only thing holding him back from submitting it is we're waiting on the final submission from the governor of the guidelines for the six major sectors that they have had advisory committees meet on thus far, which are retail, restaurants and bars, transit, childcare, personal services, which includes things like salons and tattoo parlors, and outdoor recreation. So we anticipate getting that guidance from the governor next week, and the county's plan, therefore, should be submitted to the governor by next Friday, May the 8th. And then it's just a question of waiting on the governor to approve the plan and release counties to go into what's called phase one of loosening restrictions. So people, the question on everyone's mind is, when are we starting to reopen? When is phase one? And honestly, the answer to that is just it's when the governor approves our plan. So it certainly won't be before May the 8th because that's probably when our plan will be submitted. But it'll be sometime after that. If I had to guess, I would say between the 15th and the end of May. But we just don't know because it's entirely up to the governor and what her public health, what Oregon Health Authority advises her on the status of the virus. So there's lots of detail in the guidance for each of those six sectors as far as distancing required, cleaning that's required, PPE that's required. And, of course, all of this is predicated on the status of infections and whether at the local level there is adequate PPE and availability of healthcare, which right now it looks okay. Testing, we're improving the capacity for testing, but as you know, nationally it's been an abysmal failure, I'll say, to have a national strategy and a national plan for having adequate testing nationwide. And so we're all playing catch-up with each county having to fight with their state for PPE and for testing, and then each state having to fight against the other 49 states for the adequate testing. So we're making progress, but we're not quite there yet. We'll be, once phase one is announced, there'll be a minimum 14-day period before moving to phase two, where restrictions will be loosened further, and that depends on monitoring any infections that happen during that 14-day period to determine whether or not we can move to the next phase. Locally, the mayors have been meeting and communicating with the county, and we're mostly in agreement on not opening short-term lodging, hotels, bed and breakfasts, and the like, to tourists for vacation travel during phase one, at least, And then once we begin opening, it would be incremental. So, for instance, we don't know the numbers yet, but we might say, okay, hotels are now able to open up to 15% capacity, and then maybe 30% capacity, and then 50% capacity. And then each time you're going to monitor to make sure that we're not having spikes in infection before you further loosen any of those restrictions. Some of the areas that people are really interested in that have not yet had an advisory committee formed, and therefore we don't know what the governor's guidance will be, are large venue type of things. So whether it's an outdoor event like a 4th of July festival or a regatta, or churches, theaters, like the Liberty Theater, of course, is shut down. Our movie theaters are shut down. Museums like the Maritime Museum, you know. So we don't have any guidance yet on what to expect in those areas, other than we can assume that when those type of venues are reopened, there will be significant restrictions on how many people are allowed inside at a time, what sort of physical distancing requirements there are, what sort of cleaning requirements there are. So that's all to be determined. And, of course, people want to know about July 4th. Are we going to have a July 4th in Astoria, a fireworks celebration? The concerns I have about that are that Seaside has already made the decision to cancel their fireworks. If it turns out that Astoria were the only place holding fireworks, we would be flooded with people from out of our city, and we don't want that. So we're going to monitor the course of the virus, and I believe the chamber has said they need to know by about May 15th and to give the vendor time to order all the fireworks and make plans. So that remains to be determined, but I would say it's very questionable whether it would be safe to hold a large, densely packed outdoor event like July 4th fireworks celebration this year. And I just note, you know, we're not going to be, when we do the reopening, we're not going to be returning to normal. We're going to be moving to some kind of new normal. The virus is with us. It's going to stay with us. When we start reopening, we will have increased infections. We're not going to stay at six confirmed cases in Clatsop County. And the question is just moving methodically and carefully with testing and monitoring to be sure that that the rate of infection is within public tolerance and within public health guidelines. But we'll be wearing masks for a while. Dr. Fauci has warned us that the infections could come back, the virus could come back with a vengeance in the fall and the winter. And so obviously we just want to continue to be careful in this new normal for quite a while. So getting away from the virus and local opening, just some concerns about the state budget forecast, which is due to be formally announced on May the 20th, but they've already told us to expect a $2 to $3 billion shortfall in state revenues. That, of course, will affect funding of local programs throughout the state. There'll be significant local impacts at the city level in the city of Astoria. You know, my responsibility as mayor is over and above everything else is just to make sure the city can function, to make sure we can deliver essential services to citizens that are required for the city to work. It's water, it's sewer, it's the roads, it's public safety and health. And quite frankly, the funding mechanisms we have to provide basic essential services are going to be threatened significantly over the next couple of years with this recession as well. So we're looking very closely at what we need to do to be able just to basically deliver services to the public. And finally, let me just add, I encourage everyone to continue supporting local businesses. People are, you know, ordering to-go meals, and some of the restaurants are reporting they're actually doing much better than they expected. Others are still struggling with that. And, of course, some businesses just aren't able to open because of the governor's restrictions and because their business model just doesn't work for any kind of carryout service. To the extent that any of us can, let's try to stay away from Amazon and online shopping and support local businesses wherever we're able to, and get out and enjoy that sunshine today while it lasts. Happy to answer any questions, Graham.
One question that comes to mind, you mentioned the Liberty Theater. And so as we talk about relief that's available, to what extent have you seen advocates for arts and artists and nonprofits?
You know, Betsy Johnson in the Business Owners Forum last night spoke very passionately for supporting the arts. And she made the point that, you know, during recessions, arts are typically the first things to get thrown out the window. And yet, those are the things that help make communities appealing to attract new businesses. So they're very important, not only for our psychic health, but for the economy. It's important to have vibrant arts. But as far as what type of funding might be available specifically for the arts, you know, there really hasn't been anything coming out of the state on that yet. But we'll certainly be looking towards that in the future once we get through the first few hurdles of just opening basic businesses.
Bruce, I know that you're not a physician or a doctor, but I'm curious about how we've done with flattening the curve. And I've always heard about the expectations that things will re-spike in the fall or winter. Are they going to re-spike again next spring and the fall and winter after that? I mean, is COVID-19 like the new big deal in the world, or is this going to be over at some point, even if it's in a year or 2 years or 3 years? What do you think?
Well, with your caveat in mind that I'm not a doctor, but I read voraciously every day to try to keep as well informed as I can to make the best decisions I can for our city. This is a global pandemic. It will be with us for quite a while until there's a vaccine in place, which could be anywhere from a year and a half to 5 years before there's a vaccine that is globally available and deployed. It's going to be with us, and therefore we're going to be operating under these sort of new circumstances of maintaining physical distancing and protecting ourselves. In the best case scenario is they get a vaccine that works far more quickly than the experts think a year and a half from now, and they have adequate treatment. There's adequate testing to do significant continuous testing that we can monitor our community, and then the people that are most at risk can be quarantined so that they don't get sick, and the rest of us can go about our daily lives. Maybe that happens 18 months from now. To me, everything I've read would say that, you know, 18 months from now would be the absolute best you could hope that we'd be back to complete normal, where we're just living our lives normally again. But it's about treatment, it's about a vaccine, and it's about adequate amount of testing so at the local community level we can monitor the spread of the virus and know if we're safe or not, and know whether or not we need to have additional restrictions.
And so going back to the beginning of your update about reopening, I've heard about rogue cities, rogue counties, rogue states trying to not follow the plan. And so just to sort of review, you're saying that the decision starts at the state level and then trickles down to the county level. Does it trickle down further than that, where, you know, at what point can Seaside make a decision that's different than Astoria, and or to what extent does this all have to happen completely in concert?
Yeah, well, philosophically, I believe Mayor Balancifer and I are in lockstep agreement that we are aligned with the county, and the county has the public health department. Neither of our cities have a public health department, and we want to be in lockstep. It doesn't make, you know, the worst thing that can happen is if one city opens up weeks before the surrounding cities, because the surrounding cities will be negatively impacted by that other city's decision. Anything that's covered in the governor's executive order, every city and jurisdiction in the state has to comply with. But things that are not covered in the executive order, other cities could go in a different direction. So, for instance, the governor's order does not mention hotels and lodging at all. It does talk about non-essential travel, but it doesn't specifically say you can't open your hotels. We have all agreed to do that locally to keep only essential travelers in our hotels and short-term lodging and not visitors. But that is something where a city in the county could choose to go ahead and allow tourists in their hotels. Whether the state would get involved given the governor's ban on non-essential travel, I don't know. But for the most part, I would say we're pretty much in unison within Clatsop County.
Okay, my last question, this is going to be another tough one. I am trying to wrap my head around, when this started and the shutdown started, a lot of small businesses were saying, well, this is going to be really hard to pull this off for a month or 2 months. But if this turns into a year or 2 years of significantly reduced revenues, how are we not headed for a complete global economic meltdown?
Well, of course, as stated earlier, I'm not a doctor, and now I'll say I'm not an economist. But just by, you know, again, reading every day the latest thoughts of experts, I mean, we're clearly in a recession now, and we're going to remain in a severe recession for a substantial period of time, as everything I've read would indicate that. Whether we head to an actual depression remains to be seen. But, yeah, the economy is going to be hurt for quite a while because, even as we open up, we know that you can't just turn the economy on and off like a light switch. There's already supply chains that have been disrupted that take quite a while to get back online again. So even if the virus disappeared tomorrow, it would take a few months to get everything fully back to normal again. And the virus isn't disappearing tomorrow. We're going to go through a reopening process so that we can safely conduct business to the greatest extent possible, but we're not going to be fully reopened. The economy will continue to be negatively impacted probably for the next couple of years. The negative impacts are going to continue, and it's going to be very challenging for some businesses to stay afloat. It's going to require, I think, really rethinking, doing a lot of people that are experts in their particular segment of the economy to really be brainstorming and thinking about how can we adjust to this new normal and stay viable. It's going to be a great challenge.
Okay, so you're not a doctor and you're not an economist. Now what question can I ask you? So supporting local businesses is great. And maybe my last question would be, if you were to suggest that there were something that we as a community, as individuals, can do as far as lobbying or being activists and pulling for the right motions to happen at local and higher levels of government, you know, what's the best thing that people can be doing with their time to help us manage and get through this?
Well, I would say that our state and federal representatives here in Oregon are serving us very well. They're advocating and lobbying to get the assistance to our unemployed workers, which for the most part, they're getting now. I mean, and, you know, there's some issues there that you've heard discussed, and I've heard directly from employers as well as employees. We have employees now that once their state unemployment began flowing and they got their $600 a week federal unemployment check, they're making more money now staying home unemployed than they were making in their job. And there are actually employers who have tried to get employees back to work who can't get them back to work because they're making more money being unemployed. So that is one of those unintended consequences that I don't know what you do about that. I mean, I'm glad people are being taken care of and are able to pay their bills. But what we can do locally, I mean, again, it's supporting local businesses to the extent you can, but it's also all of us just being responsible, wearing masks when you're out in public near other people, and just continuing to do that, not be embarrassed about it, and maintain the physical distancing, maintain the hand washing, that basic stuff that people are so tired of hearing. But, you know, I tell you, people are going to forget it. They're going to stop doing it if you don't continue to remind them and put peer pressure on them. Because the way that we don't go backwards, the way that we keep moving forward with reopening and letting business get back to business is by continuing practicing those basic guidelines from public health. Because if we don't do that, if we get lazy this summer and we say, okay, the virus has gone away, I haven't heard of anybody getting sick lately, then people are going to start getting sick, and then we're going to have to impose restrictions again. So let's all work together as a community to avoid that. Let's reopen slowly, methodically, and stay open by being safe.
Sounds great, Bruce. Well, thank you for the update today. We went a little longer than usual, but I really appreciate it, and we look forward to hearing from you next week.
Hey, thanks, Graham. Appreciate it.
Have a good weekend. You too.
Bye.
If you're just joining us, this is The Conversation on Coast Community Radio. It's a live call-in show. My name's Graham. I'm your host. You can give us a ring, 503-325-0010. Weigh in on how you're feeling about the progress that we are experiencing in these fill-in-the-blank times. We're going to take a quick break, and then we will be back to answer your calls. That was Song for George by Eric Johnson. 503-325-0010. Give us a call. This is a call-in show. We haven't had any calls. We've only got 8 minutes left. You've got nothing to say? This show is for you. Get it out. Now's the time. We're not going to do this again for another week until you have another chance. Here's a little update on the radio station that I promised you. The first thing that I want to do is give a shout out to all of our programmers who have been sending in pre-recorded shows, sending in station IDs, sending in messages, supporting our quiet drive, our paused spring pledge drive. It was great to hear Margarita's voice on Sonidos Latinos last night. It's been a while since we've heard from Margarita. So happy to have her back on the airwaves. All the work that Reverend Tim is doing, DJ the L.I.M., Todd Lepold, Jerry Middaugh, John Stevenson, DJ Kano, Albert Smith coming up. We had some really nice feedback about Lisa Smith's classics show today. Ellen Fry is continuing to produce shows. Richard Dawson has been cranking them out for us. So thank you so much, and I'm sure I forgot several people. And the phones are starting to light up, so I'm gonna pause on that and get to some callers. Hi, you're on the air. Go ahead.
Hi, good morning. That was a great interview with the Astoria Mayor. I have more a comment than a question. The idea of opening lodging to, let's say, a slow opening with, like, you can rent 15% of your rooms. That's great for the big chains with hotels with 85 rooms. It's not so good for a bed and breakfast or for a really small operator that has, let's say, 8 rooms, like the Sea Sprite down in Cannon Beach. I worked there in the 80s, and, yeah, they have, like, 6 rooms. Oh,
yeah,
a percentage
of capacity doesn't really work out, does it?
No, it doesn't. And I think a different approach would be if it's locally owned, give them more opportunity. If it's just literally a small business instead of a part of a corporate chain, give them the opportunity to reopen. A whole different approach. Harder to monitor, harder to make decisions, but I think we'd do more to boost our local economy. Anyway, thanks for doing the show, Graham. It's great.
Thanks for the comment.
Bye.
Thanks for that comment. Goodbye. And we've got our next caller. Hi, you're on the air. Go ahead.
Is this me?
This is you. Yes, thanks for
waiting. Oh, I'm sorry, Graham. I'm on my phone. I can't hear. I don't have the radio turned on. I was just saying that I just listened to the mayor, and understanding that one of the problems that we have as businesses in this area is that we don't have the testing, but there is a way that we can empower ourselves, and that's with recruiting local seamstresses who could be making these masks so that the masks are widely available to workers throughout our county, and also have those available at visitor centers so that when people come into town and we alert them that they need to be wearing masks, if they don't have any, we have them available. So I run North Switzerland Surf Camps, and I've been thinking about how I can retrofit all of my coaches and my students with masks. And yesterday I was up, there's a little sewing shop that's a couple doors down from Business Integrated, the tax office there in Astoria. And I called the lady and asked if she knew anybody. And she had a woman named Julia who had already started making the accordion-style masks. And she had a few there that she was just offering to people for free. But I think we need to take that idea and do it countywide and recruit seamstresses in our area and get these masks made so that when we do start opening up businesses with this new retrofit, we'll have the ability to have our own PPE available to everyone. So that's what my comment was. And I'm sorry, I can't remember the name of that little sewing shop, but it's up there in Astoria. It's a fabric store that's up there. So
yeah, that's on 10th Street. Hey, can I ask you a quick question?
Yeah.
Your audio quality on your phone is really good. What kind of a phone do you have?
Samsung.
Interesting. Are you on speakerphone or no?
No, I'm not on speakerphone.
Yeah, speakerphone tends to not sound as good. But yeah, good phone quality. And that's a great idea. I would love to see if the radio station can help be a clearinghouse for that. So if you are a seamstress and you're interested in cranking out masks, send us an email, feedback@coastradio.org, and we'll see if we can't connect you with people to supply masks with. That's a great call.
Yeah,
thank you so much.
Yeah, and I just wanted to say that would really be the way that we could help open up more businesses safely. The research I've been reading in the last week that specifically talks about masks in countries and places that are using them really knocks this COVID down way below the flattening. It literally drops it down to its ankles. And so we've just got to get people past this idea of, you know, not wearing masks and get people understanding the bigger picture. So that was my comment. Thanks so much, Green.
Thank you. Wear your mask and be proud to do it. Darn, we lost that caller. Sorry we lost you. Give us a call back if you can. 503-325-0010. I think we've got time for just one more call before we hand it over to Headline News and then Friday Folk with your host, Albert Smith. Stay tuned for a special Arts Live and Local today, produced by Todd Leopold. I do believe there's going to be a fair amount of live music selections and interviews on today's show, so be sure and catch that. Once again, a big shout out to our homegrown programmers who've been sending in shows, learning these new skills, and keeping us entertained. There's that caller. Let's see if we can get you on the air. Hi, go ahead.
Hi, Graham. This is Debbie out here in Brownsmead.
Hey, Debbie.
Yeah, hey, I know it's hard for you to think of everybody, but I did want to give a big shout out to Jim Dott because he has basically kept kids programming on the air.
How could I forget Jim? He's done amazing work.
Yeah, and his poetry work was awesome. Yeah, and your show is awesome, so thanks so much. I appreciate all you guys are doing in there.
That's a great call. Thank you, Debbie.
Thanks. Okay, bye. Have a good day.
You too. Okay, last caller. Hi, you're on the air. Go ahead.
Hi. I didn't hear too many people say things about spring, but this morning I left a May basket at my neighbor's and ran away because you're not supposed to know who left you a May basket, which is supposed to be a basket full of flowers. And my basket was full of flowers, but it was actually in a to-go coffee cup because I didn't have a basket. It's lovely, lovely, lovely first day of May. So happy May Day to everybody. And it's still morning, so if anybody wants to run and give a May basket and hang it on the door handle of their favorite neighbor, there's time to do it.
Well, I'm so glad that we got a happy May Day call. Thank you for that.
Oh, you're welcome.
Happy
Thank
spring
you
to
for
you.
Your show.
Thanks. You've been listening to The Conversation on Coast Community Radio, KMUN Astoria 91.9 FM, KTCB Tillamook 89.5 FM, streaming on the web at coastradio.org and on your mobile device using the TuneIn app. At noon, we're celebrating Mariners. Go down to the Maritime Museum and honk your horns. The ships will be blasting their horns as well. And just a general cheers to everyone who is working through this difficult time. And if you're not working, our thoughts go out to you as well. Happy spring, happy May Day, and thanks for listening to Coast Community Radio.